sense of being imperishable, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then will be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It is not only going to be a transforming experience for our body, but it is going to be a glorious, eternal triumph for the believer. And he says that triumph is going to be over death. He says it's going to be over the reality of it. And death is a reality. Listen, if you will, in verse 56. The sting of death is sin. Listen, if there were no sin, death couldn't hurt us. Death is the result of sin. He says the sting of death is sin. Listen, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he took the sting, so to speak, out of death upon himself, took it to the grave, and conquered death so that even today, death has no real sting for the believer. It is an experience that is inevitable to us until Jesus comes, but death can't hurt us. It can separate us from our loved ones for a season, but it cannot sting us because God put the sting of death into his own Son. He paid all the penalty, all the price for your sins and mine, so that though we may go through the experience of death, for the believer, it is not a sting that eternally harms us. It is simply what? It is, has simply become the entrance into a whole new imperishable eternity that God's provided for us. So he says the second thing that's going to happen here is not only the transformation, but he says there's going to be a triumph. Now watch what he says. Verse 54 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. That is, death will come to an end. Swallowed up means it's going to be destroyed forever and ever and ever. That is, death isn't just going to lose something. Death is going to be destroyed. It is going to be destroyed because God has promised it, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our promise and our verification that it's going to take place. And all that Paul is doing us here is telling us when it's going to take place. Then he sort of chides death. Death, what happened to your sting? Death, what happened to your victory? You've lost your sting. You've lost your victory. You've lost your power. You've lost your influence. You have lost it all in the resurrection. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, which means that sin, listen, sin has no power unless, first of all, there was a law. There, first of all, had to be a law before there could be sin. If there's no law to disobey, there's no sin. He says, the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, not only is there going to be a transforming experience, he says, but we are going to experience an eternal, everlasting, unending triumph over death. That means that death will have no more power, which means there'll be no more funerals because there'll be no power in death to harm or touch one of his children. When the body breathes for the last time and the heart pumps for the last time and that's it, that's final. There's a finality, there's an awesome finality about death. And what Jesus Christ has said to us and what he's promised us is here is this, that in his crucifixion, his crucifixion was like God taking the sting of death and doing what? Sinking it into the Son of God. Sinking it into his Son. Sinking it into his heart. And he bore the pain and the suffering and the penalty of that sting. But what did he do? He bore it upon himself and he took it to the grave and he conquered it there and he resurrected from the grave. And he said, he took the sting out of death for every single believer so that death, listen, we sing death could not hold him. The truth is, brother, death can't hold you either, because every single one of us have the same promise of the resurrection that Jesus Christ had. Death can't touch us. Death can't sting us because what? He's already taken the sting, and we and I have been freed and liberated. Listen to what he says. Thanks be to God who gives us, listen, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to give it. He's already given it. We have the victory because, listen, how can death sting one who is indwelt by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's already paid the penalty? He can never pay the penalty twice, and he has become our life. There's no way for me to take the sting of death.
You're listening to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. We'll wrap up his message on the challenge of the resurrection tomorrow. To review what you heard today, follow the link to Today on Radio at intouch.org, and that's where you'll find out more about who Jesus is. If you go to the bookstore page, you can order a copy of Dr. Stanley's complete message, The Challenge of the Resurrection, or order his teaching set titled Risen. a study of 1 Corinthians 15. Again, you'll find these resources at intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. To write to us, address your letter to In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia 30357. Is your spirit tuned to hear from God? Today's Moment with Charles Stanley is coming up.
Sometimes it feels as if all is lost. Life seems broken, beyond repair. But during those moments, we can have faith that God will heal and redeem our brokenness. In Dr. Stanley's book, Finding God's Blessings in Brokenness, you'll find encouragement to help you stay strong in your faith despite the obstacles. To order, call 1-800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org/store.
The cross was not something that God gave us as a point of decoration. The cross is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
But what is it about the message of the cross that can transform you every day of your life? In his book, The Gift of the Cross, Dr. Charles Stanley walks us through scripture to show us how to see the cross in a new light. The Gift of the Cross. Order yours today at intouch.org/store.
You're listening to In Touch. The Bible says that believers who have died will rise at the trumpet call of God. Here's a moment with Charles Stanley.
Now the question comes, will the world be able to hear the sound of that trumpet? Will that be an audible sound? And he says in 1 Thessalonians, if you recall, he says there will be the sound of a trumpet, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now here's what I believe he means. The lost man can't hear it because he doesn't have a receiver. It's like the radio, like the waves across the air. If you have a receiver, you can pick it up on television or radio. If you don't have a receiver, it may as well not have been sent out because you can't hear it. You don't even know that it's out there. Those of us who have receivers can pick it up. Imagine the thrill of this. You're just doing your thing. You may be working on an assembly line. You may be a secretary. You may be a waitress in a restaurant. It makes a difference what you're doing, but all of a sudden, within you is this voice, this sudden sound, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus has come. And on your way of thinking of that, you're on your way up and out of this life. Now, this is why he said, we are to live looking for his coming. Now, think about this, that within you, there's a receiver, and one of these days, it's going to get the message. Can you believe that? One of these days, you're going to get the message, and when the message comes, that's it. Somebody says, well, some things I got to get ready before I die. Friend, listen, you may need to get some things ready before you die, but I'll tell you one thing. If you're not ready when it comes, there is no way to be ready. If it's in such a short amount of time that it is absolutely and totally immeasurable, what are you going to be doing? There's no way to get ready. If you're one of those folks who says, well, I'm going to get in by the skin of my teeth and I'm going to get ready. Listen, oh, I believe when Jesus comes, when I see him coming, I'm going to start crying out for mercy. Friend, first of all, you won't even see it. Not when we see it. You won't even know what's taken place. All of us who know Christ will have disappeared and you'll be wondering what in the world's going on. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he says, with the suddenness of a shout.
Those who know Christ are those who trust in him to receive God's forgiveness of their sin. Learn more at intouch.org. And if you are encouraged and equipped today to boldly live out your faith in Christ, we'd like to know. Tomorrow on In Touch, God promises that one day, everyone whose trust is in Jesus will be resurrected. How should knowing that affect you today? I hope you'll join us Friday for our continuing study of 1 Corinthians 15 on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. When we think of Christ's work to bring salvation to the world, We rightly focus how, on the cross, Jesus reconciles us to God by freeing us from the guilt that we have because of our sins. On Good Friday, Jesus took our sin upon himself. He bore our punishment on the cross. On Easter Sunday, he rose again, and that means he conquered sin and death. And then at Pentecost, he fulfilled his promise to always be with us by sending the Holy Spirit, who then empowers us to truly love and follow God. Now, in the midst of all these true and very wonderful things about our salvation, we might overlook or even forget another crucial part of our redemption that we each desperately need. By his work, Jesus not only takes our guilt and exchanges it for his righteousness, as Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, but he also takes our shame and exchanges it for his honor. Now, this aspect of the gospel is especially important in a culture like ours, one that's so obsessed with erasing the very notion of shame. Earlier this year at the Grammy Awards, the red carpet was full of so-called sheer fashion. In fact, see-through dresses, shirts, and pants, which display an awful lot of nudity, are the new celebrity fashion trend. It's a trend that's not only odd given the basic purpose of clothes, but it reflects a kind of flaunt what you got attitude aimed at eliminating the notion of shame associated with our nakedness after the fall. Now, of course, it's not just body shame, but other forms as well, moral, physical, vocational shame, that are all seen as bad, as having in the first place, and therefore has to be removed. Shame, however, is a reality of the human condition after the fall. It's a sign that something about us is not the way it's supposed to be. Shame entered the world because of sin. Prior to the fall, Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. But after they broke God's commandment by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they attempted to cover their nakedness and to hide from God because they were ashamed. The cultural push to get rid of shame altogether is deeply problematic. The solution to our shame is not to become shameless, nor to redefine or normalize those things that bring shame as if they are instead some source of pride. For one thing, as we now see, the normalization of what is shameful quickly leads to the normalization of even worse things. In our case, like the sexualization of children. Our human solutions to shame will never save us. They're an illusion. They may temporarily cover some shame, but they never can take it away. It's only in the cross of Christ, where Jesus endured our shame, that our shame can be dealt with once and for all. And it's only with his righteousness that we can be truly clothed, not with garments that wear out, but with the same glory as the Lord Jesus Christ himself has. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Jared Hayden. And for more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.
Breakpoint listeners, I'm excited to announce that we're releasing an additional round of tickets to the 2024 Colson Center National Conference. If you are hoping to come to CCNC but missed your chance, now's your opportunity. Join us in Arlington, Texas, May 30th through June 2nd as we gather to cultivate courageous faith. We'll be joined by a fantastic lineup of speakers who have exemplified courage in the public square, including Dr. Al Mohler, Dr. Kristen Collier, Katie Faust, and more. You can also sign up for our pre-conference Worldview Intensive on Courageous Citizenship. Remaining tickets for CCNC are limited, so be sure to register soon if you want to join us. To secure your spot today, go to colsonconference.org. That's colsonconference.org.